recognize and say thank you to the Lord for bringing Jerry and Peggy back with us. We've been keeping them in our prayers in terms of safe travel, and they're back, and it's good to see you all with us again. Okay, we're talking about how to study the Bible with others, and notice that we have on here witnessing in Judea, because as we've been saying over the last bunch of weeks, we started out with all of this in looking at talking about people in our Jerusalem, people that we generally know better, people that we interact with on a regular basis, a lot of family, friends, co-workers, people like that that we interact with on a more regular basis, and that's comfortable. It's more comfortable for us to talk to people like that we're familiar with and comfortable with about the Bible. But the challenge for us now is to get out of our comfort zone. Let's expand that a little bit, and let's talk to people. You know, where, as Jesus said, to be witnesses in Jerusalem, that's where it starts. But then he also said in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so the idea here is to expand that comfort zone some, and be willing to talk to folks that we don't know as well. Maybe it's a friend of a friend. Maybe it's a family member of a friend, or some of that, you know, those kinds of things. Somebody you don't really know, but it's somebody that wants to study the Bible. Okay? So how are we going to study with that person? And so the part of the study that Dale's been doing, as we said a few moments ago, is focusing on some tried, true, tested techniques in terms of how to get along with people. How do you, you meet somebody, how do you influence that person? How do you encourage them? Again, as Dale's been saying all along in that study, you know, Dale Carnegie put all that material together based on the idea of being able to sell things to people, right? I mean, it's for salesmen. We have the best product in the world, though we are not selling it. We're just trying to give it away, okay? But the techniques that Dale Carnegie talks about are still very valid in terms of being able to influence people in a positive way, so that basically, bottom line is, they want what you've got to sell. That's really what it's about. Okay? Now, again, we've got something that doesn't cost anything in terms of, we're not selling it, we're giving it away. But here's something that's kind of ironic, I think, when it comes to the gospel. You know, usually if you want to get rid of something, Jerry, what do you do if you got a whole house full of furniture you want to get rid of?
Just get on Facebook and put it out.
All right, or you put it out there on the curb or whatever and put a sign on it that says free, right? Come and get it, and people will flock. If you put something, you put the word free next to anything, all right, people will flock to it, and they will get as much as they can because it's free, okay? Except the gospel. Okay. We don't have a lot of folks flocking around wanting to get the gospel, you see, not wanting to get salvation. So, what do we need to do? We have to, in a sense, sell the idea to folks. We've got to convince them that it is not only worth their while, but literally they cannot live without it. Okay? So all those techniques that Dale's been working on, he's going to continue with that next week. That's what that's all about. So with this part, and what I'm going to be focusing on in our study as we continue, is looking at, okay, now I've got somebody that wants to study the Bible. So how do I go about that? What are some things that I can do and need to do to show them effectively the product that I have to offer? All right? So, how do we study the Bible with other people? What I'm going to share with you in this is some things that I do to start out with folks. I'm going to sit down and study with somebody. Then, as I mentioned a few weeks ago in Dale's class, one of the first things I do with folks typically is that I will just generally say, what kind of questions do you have? What kind of questions do you have about the Bible or about religion or about church? And the reason that I do that is because really two things. Number one, I find that there's a lot of people that have a whole bunch of questions. Okay? And if I sit down with them with my program, in other words, here's what I want to study, and they've got all these questions, then do I really have their attention? Most likely not. Because they want to know this, and I'm trying to teach them this. Okay? And one of the principles that Dale has been talking about in his material is that we have to get their interest in something, right? So again, how do we do that effectively? We talk about what they want to talk about. Isn't that one of the things he's been saying all along? Talk about what they want to talk about. So they have all these questions, and so let's address those questions. So we get those things answered. We kind of get those taken care of and out of our way. Then we can focus on getting into the meat of things. The other thing, the reason that that's important to do is because when you are answering their questions and you're doing it with the scriptures, what are you showing them? What are you doing in that relationship with that person?
Well, the first thing is showing interest.
Okay, showing interest, which is one of the principles that we've learned, right? What else are you doing? Okay.
Because they are willing to ask the questions. So you're respecting what they are.
Okay.
Doing.
All right.
And I think the same thing, what we are doing is this.
Okay. All right.
That might be something I know.
Absolutely. Well, here's the main thing is what's happening is that as they're asking these questions and I'm addressing their questions and showing them and answering their questions from the scriptures, all right, then I'm building confidence with them that, number one, I know what I'm talking about. Okay?
Amen.
All right? And number two, that, yes, they can rely, they can learn to rely on the Bible and trust the Bible for the answers that they're looking for. But again, notice that we're doing it on things that they have an interest in already. It's their questions. And so I'm answering their questions using the Bible, so that's building confidence for them with the Bible and also with me. All right, Brian?
It shows them it's not your answer.
Right. Yeah. And so what that's doing then is making them, again, one of the things that we've talked about in the classes, it's making them feel a lot more comfortable, isn't it? Okay? Because sooner or later in our studies, as they go on, we're going to have to deal with some tough stuff. Okay? Now, Dale hasn't dealt with this a whole lot in his class. He mentioned it a couple times, but sooner or later, we're going to have to deal with some tough issues. And so if I can build their confidence, okay, in what the Bible says and that I'm sharing it, I'm genuinely interested in what they're concerned about and all those things we're talking about, then guess what happens when we get to the tough stuff?
Yeah.
You see? So they're gonna accept that tough stuff a whole lot better than they might otherwise do. So that's why I start out in that kind of a way. What kind of questions do you have? And that may sound scary to some of you. You go, what if they ask me a question I don't know? What's the right answer to that? How do you handle that? You say, I don't know. I'll find out. What's the next question you've got? Okay. But don't be afraid to do that and say, well, you know, let's look and see what we can find. I know something in there, but I can't right off the top of my head remember where it is. Let me see. Give me a minute here. Or just say, I don't know. they will appreciate you doing that a whole lot more than you just trying to make up an answer that they're going to be able to see through right at the beginning. And then what happens to your trust? Credibility's gone. Chuck? Yeah. Okay.
He's incomparable.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the benefit of a topical Bible, too. If you have one on hand, you can generally refer to that topic and give them an answer. It may not be a complete answer, but it will certainly get them going until you can come back with a complete answer.
Right. I think the most important thing, if you have that situation, is let them know that you're not just trying to evade the question and change the subject, what have you, but that you will genuinely try to find the right answer for them and get back with them on it the next time or what have you. So make sure that you do. Write a note about it, write it down so that you can, you know, if you're like me, 10 minutes afterwards I've forgotten what it is, and so then we go, what are we gonna talk? No. Write it down so you can go and research, find out what you need to. And then next time you'll have the answer, you can sit down. Remember last time we were studying, you asked me about this, and I told you I didn't know what really have a good answer for you. Well, I did some research, did some looking up, I talked to some folks, and here's what I found out. See? And what you have done is really boosted your credibility with that person in that way. Okay? So again, don't be afraid that they're going to ask you something that you don't know. People ask me questions I don't know all the time. Okay? And so it's a matter of study Bible, topical Bible, a concordance, you know, to be able to take a minute, look in the back, find out, you know, and so forth. But make sure that you come back and address it later on. Okay, now, let's talk about, so we've got this person that wants to study the Bible with us, okay? We've talked about some questions and issues and so forth that they have on their mind. And now we're going to get down to, what's the Bible say about stuff? Okay, well, the first thing that we need to do with that person is to establish belief in the Bible. Okay, is the Bible the inerrant word of God? That's an important issue. Okay, we need to establish whether or not we agree on that issue. Okay, because if we don't agree and we don't establish that, then nothing else that we're going to study is really going to matter that much. Okay, so this is one of the first things that we need to establish with a person. So when they're asking you questions about, you know, whatever, Bible, about church, about religion, what have you, this is one of the areas that you want to go to first and talk about that. Well, tell me what you believe about the Bible. I believe that the Bible is the inerrant word of God. Well, I'm not really sure. Okay, we need to establish that. We need to talk about that. Okay? Because once we establish that, then what does that really do? It gives me a base, but what kind of base, though, Wes? You're right, but what is that base?
Cornerstone.
What?
That's a cornerstone you start on.
Okay, but it's the authority, isn't it? In other words, that what we're establishing is that the Bible is the authority that we are coming to. Again, it's not, as Brian, I think, mentioned a few moments ago, it's not my opinion, it's not your opinion, it's the Bible. So what we're going to do as we study together is, We want to be able to go and see, what does the Bible say? But if that person doesn't believe that the Bible is the inerrant word of God, then, you know, we've got to establish that. We've got to build that with that person. Okay? So you may have to spend some time establishing that particular fact. In fact, you probably will. You know, a lot of people, and I'm going to say most folks out here, are familiar with the Bible in that they have one on a shelf or on a coffee table or what have you, and they know things that people have told them that the Bible says about this or about that. But when it comes to actually knowing what the Bible says about various things, most people do not really have a clue. Okay? They really do not have a clue as to what it really says about some of these things. And of course, you know, they'll be able to quote certain things like, "Judge not lest ye be judged," right? Taking it out of context every time, all right? But they'll know certain verses that they've heard or what have you, but they most of the time don't even know those verses in their context and what the verse is actually referring to. So we need to establish biblical authority in order to really have any kind of a meaningful Bible study. All right? Because again, then that takes it out of, it's not my opinion, it's not your opinion, it's not church tradition. What we're doing is we're focusing on what does the Bible say. All right? Now, how do we go about doing that? Well, I'm going to give you some things, some scriptures and some other information, and hopefully you've got something to write some things down with that can give you some ideas, and you can kind of set this out and use this, if you want to, as a way to go through with someone to establish that authority, okay? So, let's talk about the Bible just in general. How did it come about? Okay, we've got this book that everybody says it's God's Word, but where did it come from? Well, you can share some of these facts about the Bible, and that's what they are, okay? And you can establish them with this person. Here's just some known facts about the Bible that can help you to understand where it comes from and so forth, okay? That we realize that the Bible is written by 40 different people, okay? Over a period of nearly 1,600 years, using different languages, and these people living in different countries even. Yet they presented one central theme without variation or contradiction. Okay? And as the second part of this says, in many instances, the writers had no access to other books. In other words, any of the other writers. Yet, they wrote about events in perfect unity, each complementing the others. In other words, what are we really trying to establish here with this person? The Bible is what? First of all, it is true. Okay? Secondly, the Bible does not contradict itself. All right? When you present this information in a way that helps them to understand, look, just stop and try to consider the odds of something like this happening that would come from men. Okay? We're talking about 40 different people writing all of these different, 66 different separate books. Okay? That are in agreement with one another, that has a central theme that you find at the very beginning with the very first book and goes all the way through to the very last book. There's one central theme, one thread is another way to put it, that goes all the way through all of the books of the Bible. They don't contradict one another, they complement one another, and they tell the same story. Now, and you can establish with this person, can you show me any other, just one single volume, okay, of material that you can say that with? Okay. Men can't even agree on recent history and historical writings. Okay? There's all kinds of disagreement on things from George Washington, from the early fathers of this country, and writing. Just look at all the disputes about the Constitution. Okay? When men put something together, there's going to be all kinds of errors and disagreements and everything else. But you won't find it in here. What does that tell us then? This didn't come from men. See, that's what we're trying to establish, is to help them to see, how can something possibly be written over that amount of time with that many different people not even having access to what one another has written in some cases, and still come out telling the very same story? How can that happen if God didn't have his hand in it? You see, that's what we want to try to establish with them, help them to see that. This is not, in other words, just an ordinary book. There's something special about this book. And that's what we're trying to help them to see and to establish with them in that way. Okay? So, we want to talk about it in terms of just how did it come together like that, all right? Then, let's talk about some attitudes that people have toward the Bible. And this is something that, again, you want to talk openly with a person about these things to find out. Well, let me ask you, what do you want to find out here with these kind of things? You're talking about the idea that many people want their Bible like their religion, cafeteria style. Far too many want to pick and choose what they want in the Bible and leave the rest. And many people claim to accept Jesus but reject the Bible. Those are some important issues. Well, what are we trying to establish in talking about these things right here?
You don't have that option.
Okay. But before I do that, what do I need to know about the person I'm studying with? Okay. I want to know how does he feel about these things? You see? I want to know where he or she is on this. You know, tell me about how, you know, your thoughts on religion and so forth. You know, in other words, you know, when it comes to the Bible, how do you feel about it? How have you kind of always, you know, thought of the Bible in terms of studying it and so forth? You'll find most of us say, I've never really studied it. Brian?
With them not studying it, most of them will tell you that that's your interpretation.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a later study, but you're exactly right, okay? But see, I want to know, again, remember, I've started out here and I'm building up some confidence with this person, so I feel comfortable in asking about these things, okay? And I would put it in ways to say, you know, a lot of people don't believe that the Bible really applies to us today, things like that, or... Here, you know, one of the problems that I've seen with a lot of people is that they kind of pick and choose what parts of the Bible they agree with and don't, and which parts they're going to follow and which parts they don't. And I've had people go, yeah, maybe I've been guilty of that. You see, what you're doing is you're challenging them a little bit to think about how are they applying this material. Okay? I accept Jesus, but I reject the Bible. In other words, I love Jesus, but, you know, some of the stuff in the Bible is too hard for me to accept. Okay, what am I going to do from there? Where do I go with a person like that?
You go with the exception of Jesus.
Okay. Okay.
Say, if you don't believe in what he says, then you read throughout Scripture. Him speaking throughout Scripture.
Okay.
So it would be hard not to accept the one without the other.
Okay. Chuck?
John 15, if you love him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Say that you love him.
Okay. All right. And those are right answers, but the first thing that I want to do with this person is I want them to know that I appreciate their honesty about, you know, how they feel about the Bible and so forth. That helps me to know, you know, where you are. And so now I know where we need to focus so that I can help you to better understand the significance and the importance of the Bible. And then we're going to go to some of these places, you see. But again, remember the stuff that Dale's been talking about. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to build this relationship with this person, right? And so, you know, they're being honest with me and they're telling me, you know, I've never really thought a whole lot about the Bible, or I don't really like some of the stuff the Bible says, and, you know, I like Jesus, but, you know, that Bible's pretty hard sometimes, or things of that nature. Okay, I appreciate you telling me that. Let me try to show you some things that might help you to feel better about the Bible, that you can understand it, and that maybe some of the things that you don't like about it, we can get those better understood and straightened out, or what have you. But I'm building confidence with that person. Not just in me, but I'm trying to build it in the Bible, because that's really where I want them to get to, right? Okay? So, again, remember, don't say, like, well, you shouldn't live that way. You shouldn't believe that. You shouldn't be thinking that way. Because what am I doing then that Dale's talking about over and over again? I'm in a confrontation. What else am I doing? I'm criticizing. I'm condemning them. You see, all those things. And they're liable to go, well, fine, I'm out of here. Okay? So again, I'm just being honest, but I'm appreciating their honesty with me in the whole thing. Okay? All right, so you know, we want to have the opportunity to establish some of these things. Just those ideas that, you know, there's a lot of people that kind of feel this way about the Bible. And they may say, well, you know, I don't really know. I don't really feel that way. But now I know what I'm dealing with, right? A lot more. Okay? So, well, let's talk about this Bible that makes you feel somewhat uncomfortable. Or that there's things that, yeah, you find difficult and you don't like in there. Let's talk about this Bible. And let's really take a look at what does the Bible really tell us, okay? And how trustworthy is the Bible? Now, we've already established the history, so to speak, just a real brief summary of it. But let's talk about where it comes from. What is the significance, and more importantly, what we need to establish is the authority of the Bible, okay? So we're going to go and spend some time in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All right? And we're going to let them read that. What does that say? Somebody read it. Anybody? Wait a minute. Stop just a second. What does it say again? Wait a minute. Read it one more time. How much Scripture? All Scripture. You see what I'm doing here? I want to kind of get their attention here a little bit. What are they actually reading? Because it's real easy to read all Scripture as God breathed. Wait a minute. How much Scripture? All Scripture is... Wait a minute. It's what now? It's God breathed? What does that mean?
It's from the mouth of God.
Okay. You see, I want to spend some time establishing this with this person. All right? Because what we're talking about is the authority of the Bible, right? Okay? So I want them to understand that this Bible that we're looking at, where did it come from? Well, it was breathed by God. Well, how much of it? All of it. You mean even the parts that we don't like? Yeah. Oh, and by the way, I got to be honest with you. You know, there are some parts of it I don't like. Okay? There are some parts of it I don't like. And so again, what am I doing here? I'm trying to make them feel comfortable, okay? But I'm also establishing with them the authority that this Bible has. That every bit of it, all of it, how much is it, anything excluded when you use the word all? Y'all hear me talk about that all the time, you know? What's left out of that? Nothing. See, I want to establish those kind of things with them. So don't just read through the passage and go, do you know what that says? Yeah, it says all Scripture is breathed by God. And, you know, we'll be, okay, wait a minute. Let's slow this thing down here. Okay? I want to establish with them all Scripture and breathed by God. Okay? Because I want them to know and understand, where does it come from? Okay? And then, what else am I going to establish with them about this passage? What is it useful for? Okay? So in other words, all of the Scriptures that we have, they're breathed by God. They're spoken, literally, that's what it means. They're spoken by God. Okay? But what is it for? Why did God give us this? Well, it has to be useful for something, doesn't it? And what does he say here in this passage? You see what I'm doing? I'm wanting them to be able to see these things. I'm asking them, and I'm asking them, they're going to look at it, and what does it tell you here? Well, it says it's useful for some things, right? What kinds of things is it useful for? Well, what does it say here? Teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training. So it's useful for at least four things there, right? And what are they going to say? Okay. But those four things, what is it useful for in... what? In teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in what? In righteousness. And for what reason? So that the man of God will be what? Thoroughly equipped to do every good work. So you see, what we're really wanting to understand here is that the Bible is given to us by God, not just part of it, not just the parts we like, okay, and not just the parts that we don't like, but all of it is given to us literally spoken by God. And he gave it to us for a reason, a purpose in it. And as we've just seen here, that purpose is to do what? To thoroughly equip people to do every good work. So if we want to know then how to be equipped to do the good works that we need to be doing, doesn't it make sense that we ought to go to the Bible to find that out? You see what I'm trying to establish with them? I'm trying to put everything, all the power and authority, right here. All right? This comes from God. And it's not just for good reading when we can't fall asleep at night. Okay? He gave it to us for a purpose, and that is to thoroughly equip us to do the things that he wants us to do. See, that's what I want to establish with this person. So I don't want to just read this and say, okay, you see the Bible comes from God and we need to pay attention to it because it's breathed by God. Right? Oh, no. I want them to understand what this passage is saying here. So I want to gently and slowly, I want to walk through it. If they have any questions? Okay? Well, my Bible says, given by inspiration, what does that mean? You see, they may ask you that because they're reading a different version of the Bible. Okay? Why do we need to be teaching and rebuking and other people? Isn't that up to God to be doing that? I mean, the Bible does say, judge not lest you be judged, right? Okay, all right. So you see, in other words, how are we gonna answer those kind of questions? If we're talking about this verse and somebody asks those kind of questions, how are you gonna answer it? Right? We need to be ready for those things. Okay? You're right, the Bible does say, judge not lest you be judged, but it also tells us that we need to make judgments. And so maybe the next time we get together, let's focus on, since that seems to be a really important verse for you, let's spend some time focusing on that verse and to see what does it really say. Okay? That may be one thing that you can do. And you say, okay, we're going to talk about that next time. Or maybe, okay, so if that's really, that's a stickler for them right now, what do we need to do then? Do what? Turn over to that verse and let's talk about it. Okay, let's talk about that and let's see what is that verse, what's the context of that. And part of what I'm telling you is what you might want to do is anticipate some of these things. So, you know, in my study Bible, the one that I have that I use when I sit down and study with folks and so forth, I've got all kinds of pages and notes and things in there. So, you know, I can pull things out of there and go, here we go. So, you know, you know that's a topic that a lot of people are throwing out there today. So make you some notes. Okay? Put down that text so you know where it is, okay? And then some other text on judging and judgments and so forth and so forth, so that if that comes up and you can, all right, well, I'll tell you what, let's talk about that then. Pull out your sheet there. Let's take a look at that passage. Okay, and go in there and look at it, study it. What is it really talking about? What's the context here? Okay, let me show you some other passages. And we're going to look at some other passages that talk about judging and so forth and what that's all about. And then where are we going to go after we've kind of shared all these different passages that seemingly contradict themselves? Where are we going to go with them? We're going to go back to the fact that we've already established the Bible is what? It is the Word of God, and it does not contradict itself. So what we need to understand then, if we're reading these passages say this, they seem to say this, these passages seem to say that, they seem to be contradicting one another, then what do we need to understand about that? Context. But more, even not just context, but what do we need to establish with this person? If I've got, let's just say I've got two passages that seem to be contradicting one another, I'm understanding this one this way and this one this way, if the Bible doesn't contradict itself, what does that tell me about my understanding or interpretation of the passages? Yeah, I got to go back and relook at that. So I want to establish with them, look, If I'm interpreting or understanding a passage in one way and it's contradicting any other passage in the Bible, then I need to go back and relook at my understanding of that passage. Geraldine?
Yesterday, the witness came to the house and he was talking to me about Psalm 37:9.
Mm-hmm.
And the way his was, well, he had one of those tablet things. He was trying to tell me that God was saying that when he comes, when Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to leave all Christians here on this mm-hmm. land,
right,
and take sinners.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wasn't quite satisfied with that, so I said, I tell you what, I asked my minister tomorrow, and you come back next time.
Okay, all right. Then what we do is...
He still tried to tell me that's what it meant. Well, I said, I'm not quite satisfied with that. So he kept talking about that same one, the same one. I said, okay, I'm going to finish ironing, and I'm going to ask my minister tomorrow, and you come back next time.
Okay. What we want to do is talk to him about the end times and what Paul writes about in Thessalonians. Okay. What's going to happen when the Lord comes back again? What's the picture that he gives to us there? See, do what? Well, it's when Christ comes back again, what's going to happen? The trumpets are going to sound, and then the dead in Christ are going to rise first, right? And then after that, those who are still alive until He comes will be what? Will be taken up to meet Him in the air and there be with Him forever.
Right. And I know he was to argue with me about it,
right.
But I didn't want to do that.
Right. Okay. But see what you're doing, I mean, you're saying, okay, so how can you know, this be where you're saying we're all Christians are going to be left here, and over here Paul's saying that all those who are believers in Christ are going to be taken up to meet the Lord in the air. We're not going to be, are we going to be here or are we going to be there? Which is it? Okay. And so this is a perfect example of somebody's interpretation is wrong here, because they can't both be right. Okay? So
he didn't say it exactly the way I said it. That's how his was written.
Right.
And I saw one time the action, what Bible was doing. Okay? I didn't do that.
He's doing it probably from the New World Translation, which is not a whole lot different than what our Bible is. But what he's doing is that he, and we're going to talk about this a whole lot more in the upcoming studies that I'll be doing. We'll be focusing on specific, you know, groups and things of what they teach, like Jehovah's Witnesses and so forth. But basically what you see happening is they have a certain doctrine, okay? And they have passages that they know that they've interpreted and they kind of twisted to suit their doctrine, okay? And so you sit down and study with them. What they're going to do is they want you to focus on these passages, all right? And one of the best things that you can do with them is to get them off of their passages and show them what the other things the Bible says. And a lot of times, what you'll find out is they don't have a clue, because they really don't study all of those other things. What they focus their studying on is these passages that help people to help convince people of their teachings and their beliefs. And I'll share some other things with you about that, you know, how they do that, and some things that we go to the Scripture and say, wait a minute, you say. But you get them off of those passages and show them other things that the Bible says that contradict what they're teaching. And they don't really know what to do with it. You say, Chuck, we're way out of time here, so real quick. We're going to go there. That's later on here in my pages. So save it for our next study after Dale finishes with his. All right.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but we're way out of time here. Thank you all very much. I hope this is helpful to you and giving you some ideas on how to sit down and talk with somebody about the Bible. All right. Okay. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.